Every week, thousands of families across our region participate in a faith group or other spiritual community. In the same week, thousands of families are also struggling with critical human service needs and sometimes crises. How can we strengthen the way faith groups and community service agencies join to support the safety, health, and happiness of our community's children and families? Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director at SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Doug Brown, Acting Program Manager of Child Protective Services for the City of Alexandria and an advocate for active faith communities in the lives of children. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Today we'll discuss some of the ways faith groups and human services can connect, why it's critical that they do so, and how we can help make it happen in our own communities. So let's talk about faith groups first. Mm. How do they play a special role in strengthening families and keeping children safe?
Mm-hmm. I think faith groups are already interwoven into our communities. They're already out there providing inspiration and assistance to families, and in some places have been doing such for many generations, working with families and generations of families. So as institutions in our community, they are places of trust and hope that families are already naturally going to for assistance and counsel when facing difficulties. Then from what I've observed, whether it's because of their own religious upbringing, the tough questions that children sometimes ask their parents, or because children, just the presence, make us pause and think about life sometimes in different ways, is the birth and raising of children often bring families back to faith institutions. I think faith groups provide support and a sense of community that many parents and families find important and naturally seek out during that time of their lives.
That's a good point. Well, then, talking about human service organizations, when we refer to human service organizations, what kinds of agencies are we talking about?
And human service organizations can be as varied as faith groups. First that comes to mind are those public child welfare agencies that are responsible for many child abuse prevention or protective service, foster care, and adoption resource programs. But besides government and beyond government, there are other organizations that provide a lot of important community services, like public and parent education, child care, specialized foster care, and even recreational programs, just to name a few. And if you were to add the faith groups and the human service organizations together, you really have a huge network of dedicated individuals and organizations that are working to strengthen families and keep children safe.
So there's a lot of variety out there and a lot of different entities involved, but sometimes we don't always know how best to sort of bring them together. Mm-hmm. And you recently joined SCAN at a summit that pulled together 50 diverse leaders from both faith groups and human service organizations to talk about how we can work together to better support children and families. And one of the things that struck me at that event was you talked about shared principles that are common to both of those groups, typically. So talk a little bit about those shared principles.
Sure. Well, first, as a social worker, I recognize that many of the roots in my profession are grounded in faith-based organizations. The founder of the original Settlement House movement and other charitable aid organizations were often persons of faith who were inspired and moved by the plight of children and families in the early 1900s. And that's probably the greatest shared principle between human service organizations and faith-based group, is that shared belief that all children have a special place in society and deserve a safe, healthy, and nurturing upbringing. Faith and human service organizations can also unite in the belief in that primary importance and the benefits of family connections for children. So that really shared understanding of where children are in our society in that special place and keeping them connected to families is so important. Now, under difficult situations, speaking for government, we've not always done the best job that we can in keeping children connected with their families. But I think we're doing a much better job now of recognizing that and working with relatives and really the larger defined family, however family defines themselves, to really help solve some tough problems. And I guess the last and really equally important shared principle is the belief that people can change. This is a core value of social work and really a core belief of most faith groups also. And though we may lay out different steps to seek the change that may need to happen for a family, we believe that people can move forward and that their past does not determine their future.
So there's kind of shared goals and, and a shared vision for what we want for children and families, but also maybe a shared approach to a positive, optimistic, sort of strength-based way of going about achieving that goal. We'll talk about some of what you've witnessed when faith groups and human services do work together and how that benefits families.
Sure. And there are already a lot of really good partnerships going on right now. I guess maybe one of the best examples that I can think of is how human services and faith-based organizations can combine and are combining to help parents and children find safety from domestic violence in their homes. Often that initial response may be through police, public child welfare, or domestic violence professionals. And they combine to really make sure there's that initial safety for a parent and their children. And that can be achieved with the intervention of those government and those human service organizations. But the road back to self-sufficiency and long-term safety often comes through partnership with faith groups. It's hard to start over for a family overcoming domestic violence. But there are faith groups that provide everything from rent-a-posit assistance to furnishings of new apartments in safe neighborhoods, providing affordable and local child care, and even specialized immigration services for families for who that's appropriate for. So victims of domestic violence really, when the government organizations and the faith-based are working well together, really see that partnership and they benefit from that close collaboration.
So there's, if you're just joining us, this is Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quinones, Executive Director at SCAN of Northern Virginia. My guest today is Doug Brown, Acting Program Manager of Child Protective Services for the City of Alexandria. And we're talking about how faith groups and human service organizations can join together. And part of what I hear you talking about is that oftentimes the faith group may be the first one that knows there's a problem, and then human services may get involved, but then the faith group's going to be there for the long term, too, and providing some of those informal supports and emotional support in addition to tangible supports that the family might need.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
One of the other speakers at that summit I mentioned earlier talked about how you have to engage individuals and families before you can instruct them. So talk a little bit about what human service leaders can learn from faith groups about how to better and more authentically connect to families and communities in stronger and effective ways.
I think human service organizations are coming to recognize that faith groups really have a long-standing relationship to the community and a long-standing commitment to their communities and the improvement of their communities. That faith leaders and organizations, they've been there for years and they know a lot of the issues and the concerns that families are struggling with. It is probably a very rare moment when a human service organization approaches a faith group and informs them of a community problem that the faith group doesn't already know about. So I think human service organizations really need to start recognizing and valuing the perspective that faith groups and see them as partners in solving problems and recognizing that these faith groups have a real true investment in the community and the persons there. This is really vital to really affect positive and long-term change in a community. So if human service organizations can start there and that partnership becomes the foundation and building those relationships is the foundation for building, I think that you really get better outcomes working together.
Very good. For listeners who are involved with their own faith groups, what can they do to help build those connections and more effectively address the needs of families in their own community?
As someone who works for government and for a child welfare organization, first, I would value any opportunity to come out and visit with a faith group to answer questions and talk about what my organization does. We're public servants, and we would welcome any invitation to listen to concerns and really start a conversation about creating solutions in communities and working with families and children so that we do have safer communities. So first, faith groups can invite and reach out to their human service organizations and ask questions about the work they're doing and how they're working in the community, and then share in the work that the faith groups are doing also.
And that Child Protective Services, whatever name they have in different communities across the area, probably have a similar willingness in any community that our listeners might be listening from.
I think very much there's you know, there are certainly laws and rules around confidentiality and all that Child Protective Services. It's very important to the work they do. But in explaining the type of work they do, the laws that kind of guide the type of services they work, what they can and can't do, I think is something that we can be open about. And I think people maybe have an interest in learning about. So they kind of understand what their public officials are doing out there in the community and sharing their work and sharing our struggles, too. We certainly struggle with finding nice, safe homes for children at times and working with the community problems. And we need partnerships, too. Certainly that works both ways. There are some faith groups who have even held special services on really tough topics. And I think that's an area where faith groups can look at really informing the community and informing their folks also. Some churches in our area in Alexandria have held services on child abuse prevention, on domestic violence, and even on child trafficking. And when they bring in a, whether it be a speaker from outside or maybe they have somebody in their own congregation who is an expert in that area. But when you bring a speaker to talk about a special topic and maybe combine it with some special liturgy, other worship opportunities, there can be a really powerful moment of healing for individuals in those faith communities, but it also can be an inspiration for change in the community, an inspiration for action. And so that's another really great place where I think faith groups can really combine with human service organizations to talk about tough topics and see that there really does need to be a joint response to make change in communities. I think then finally, and this is kind of a little especially close to my work, and going back to our talk of our shared commitment and our value about children having a special place in society and needing safe, healthy, and nurturing upbringings, is there continues to be a need in every community for loving foster homes. And being a foster parent is hard, and it's hard work. But it can be made easier when you use the natural supports that a faith community can provide. So by reaching out to your local social service organization, a faith community could maybe host a forum or just maybe a small group of people who are interested in the topic of foster parenting. And you might find that when folks know they have the backing of their faith group, that being a foster parent doesn't seem so overwhelming, and that we are certainly looking to partnership with that. Faith communities can really have a pretty unique and powerful impact on a child's life by doing that.
You want to give just a little spiel of the diversity of families that you're looking for and who could be a foster parent?
Oh, well, you know, certainly foster children represent the diversity of our community. And so, but there's always a special need for folks who may be able to speak Spanish and can, you know, serve that community. And so really it is anybody who may have an interest. It doesn't have to be somebody who considers themselves a perfect parent. We certainly welcome single parents. We welcome folks who maybe thought their child raising days might be over as their own children have passed through their home and maybe have some open rooms and some space. And being a foster parent doesn't have to be always for that long-term commitment. We try to really engage with our foster parents for also working in emergency situations. But every local organization is going to be a little different about what they're looking for. And the important thing is to reach out and say, I have an interest, and see how maybe that social service organization can match that interest. And how maybe you can be a part of, you know, really helping a child and a family overcome some hard times.
We have just about a minute left. Is there one final thought you wanted to leave with our listeners this morning?
I think just saying that, you know, individually, human service organization and faith groups are already doing good work in the communities. We see that and we know that. But I think if we really started building connections, we have the potential to do even greater things, to work with families and really improve our communities.
Nice thought to leave us with. Faith groups are often a source of strength and stability for families that participate, so they can often be the first resource a parent or family turns to in their moment of need. Faith communities are also often a longer-term source of support to the family over time. Meanwhile, human services professionals can be important sources of expertise, referrals, services, and connections for these communities as they seek to support families in need. If you're a listener involved in a faith or community group and interested in deepening the way your group supports parents and families, SCAN is ready to help. We offer tools and resources online to help get your group thinking and expanding the conversation about how to best support families in your midst. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quinones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Doug Brown, Acting Program Manager of Child Protective Services for the City of Alexandria, for joining me to talk about this important topic. Remember, kids need connections. We are all responsible for connecting with the children in our communities, and we can each help families thrive. For more information about connecting faith and human service organizations, as well as other parenting topics, visit the SCAN website at scanva.org.